This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from General Motors on Safari, South African series. This one's titled The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber. This one aired April 30th, 1965. After that, it's Frontier Gentleman and Nebraska Jack, their story from August 3rd, 1958.
General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa are proud to present the first broadcast of a brilliant new series of programs bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari. And here is your storyteller, ex-hunter and game warden, Frank Lauderdale.
Thank you, and good evening. Tonight, I bring you a classic story by that great American writer, Ernest Hemingway. It's a story of cowardice and the excitement of a bravery newfound. It's a story of death, too. Although it's fiction, the events in the story are very true to life. I know you'll enjoy it. It's called The Short Happy Life of Francis McComber. Francis and Margot McComber were wealthy Americans who were known as a comparatively happily married couple. Disruption was often rumored about their marriage, but it never happened, and, as the Society columnist put it, they were adding a spice of adventure to their romance by a safari in darkest Africa. Margot McComber had been a great beauty, but she was not a great enough beauty to be able to leave her husband, and she knew it, and he knew it. Besides, he had too much money. They'd employed Robert Wilson to take them on safari in the bush of Kenya.
Morning.
Morning. I was just going to send the boy to wake you.
I've been awake for some time. What you got there?
Kippers and coffee. Sounds like an old-timer.
How can you tell?
From the way he's been coughing.
Yes. It was the coughing that woke me. Made him seem just outside the tent. Is he very close?
A mile or so upstream.
Will we see him?
We'll have a look.
I didn't think his roaring would carry that far. It sounds as though he were right in camp.
It carries a hell of a long way. Strange. I hope he's a shootable cat. The boys said there was a very big one about here.
If I get a shot, where should I hit him to stop him?
In the shoulders. In the neck, if you can make it. Shoot for the bone. Break him down.
I hope I can place it properly.
Oh, you shoot very well. Take your time. Make sure of him. And the first one in is the one that counts.
What range will it be?
Can't tell. Lion has something to say about that. Don't shoot unless it's close enough so that you can make sure.
At under 100 yards?
Hundreds about right. Might have to take him a bit under. Shouldn't chance a shot at much over that. 100's a decent range. You can hit him wherever you want to, then. Oh, here comes the Memsahib.
Morning. Are we going after that lion?
As soon as you deal with your breakfast. How are you feeling?
Marvelous and very excited.
Well, I'll just go and see that everything's ready. Noisy beggar. We'll soon put a stop to that.
What's the matter, Francis?
Nothing.
Yes, there is. What are you upset about?
Nothing.
Tell me. Don't you feel well?
It's that roaring. It's been going on all night, you know.
Why didn't you wake me? I'd love to have heard it.
I've got to kill it.
Well, that's what you're out here for, isn't it?
Yes, but I'm nervous. Hearing the thing roar gets on my nerves.
Well, then, as Wilson said, kill him and stop his roaring.
Oh, yes, darling. It sounds easy, doesn't it?
You're not afraid, are you?
Of course not. I'm nervous from hearing his roar all night.
You'll kill him marvelously. I know you will, and I'm awfully anxious to see it.
Eat your breakfast and we'll be starting.
Oh, it's not light yet. This is a ridiculous hour. Sounds almost here.
I hate that noise.
It's very impressive.
Impressive. It's frightful.
Oh, come on. Your gun bearer has your Springfield and a big gun. Everything's in the car. We've got solid ammunition.
Yes.
Well, I'm ready.
Well, you get in front. The Mem Saab can sit back here with me.
They climbed into the vehicle and in the gray first daylight moved off up the river through the trees. Macomba opened the breech of his rifle and saw he had metal-cased bullets. He shut the bolt and put the rifle on safety. He saw that his hand was trembling.
Look at the vultures up there.
They're circling and then dropping down. What does that mean?
It means the old boy's left his kill. Chances are he'll come to drink along here before he goes to lay up. Keep an eye out.
Yes. Ahead to the right. Well, get out and take him. He's a marvelous lion.
How far is he?
About 75 yards.
Well, get out and take him.
Why not shoot him from where I am?
You don't shoot them from cars. Get out. He's not going to stay there all day.
Oh, isn't he marvelous? Silhouetted on the bank there with the breeze just stirring his mane.
Go on. Take him.
Got him in the flank. Hit him again before he reaches the grass.
I hit him. I hit him twice. I heard the bullets go home.
You gut shot him and you hit him somewhere forward. You may have killed him. We'll have to wait a while before we go in to find out.
What do you mean?
Let him get sick before we follow him up.
Oh.
He's a hell of a fine lion. He's in a bad place, though.
Why bad?
You can't see him until you run him.
Oh.
Congoni.
Buona.
Bring Saab's big gun.
And dear Buona.
The Mem Saab had better stay here.
Why?
Because I say so. You can see better from here.
I got Saab's big gun, Buona.
And take it. Now let's go. It.
He went this way, Buona. See, there is blood on the grass, Buona.
What do we do?
Not much choice. We'll go in and look for him.
Can't we set fire to the grass?
Too green.
We could send Congoni and the boys in as beaters.
Yeah, we could, but it's just a touch murderous. You see, that lion's wounded. You can drive an unwounded lion. He'll move on ahead of the noise. But a wounded lion's going to charge. You can't see him until you're right on him. He'll make himself perfectly flat in cover you wouldn't think would hide a hair. You can't very well send boys in there to that sort of a show. Somebody's bound to get mauled.
What about the gun bearers?
Oh, they'll go. That's what they're paid for. But they don't look too happy about it, do they?
I don't want to go in there.
Oh, neither do I. Really no choice there. Oh, you don't have to go in, of course. That's what I'm hired for. That's why I'm so expensive.
Well, why not leave him, then?
You mean pretend to ourselves he hasn't been hit?
Yeah, just drop it.
It isn't done.
Well, why not?
Well, for one thing, he's certainly suffering. For another, someone else might run onto him.
I see.
But you don't have to have anything to do with it.
I'd like to. I'm just scared.
Why don't you go over and join the Mem Saab while I just get it over with?
No, I want to go.
All right. You keep behind me and a little to one side. Chances are we'll hear him growl. If we see him, we'll both shoot. Now, don't worry about anything. I'll keep you backed up.
Could I have a drink of water?
Congoni, Margie, qua buona.
Dio buona. Margie, buona.
Thank you.
Come on. Keep behind me and about 5 yards to the right and do exactly as I tell you. Watch the blood spore, Congoni.
And you, Buona. This way, Buona.
And you won't have gone far. Careful now.
Buona!
Macomba heard the coughing grunt, saw the swishing rush in the grass, and the wild roaring seemed to enfold him. The next thing he knew, he was running, running wildly in panic in the open, running towards the stream. He heard the crash of Wilson's big rifle. It crashed again. And turning, Macomba saw the heavy yellow bulk of the lion stiffening, the head sliding forward. The lion was dead, and the black men and the white man stood looking at Macomba in contempt. He walked towards Wilson.
Want to take pictures?
No.
Is it all right to come down?
Yes, it's all over. He's a fine lion. The boys will skin him out. We might as well stay here in the shade.
That was fabulous. I saw the whole thing. Mr. Robert Wilson, I'm gonna kiss you for that. There.
Oh, I say.
The beautifully red-faced Mr. Robert Wilson.
Story of the lion. Macomba hadn't known how the lion had felt when he felt the smash of the 505 that destroyed him. Wilson knew something about it and only expressed it by saying,
"Damn fine lion."
But Macomba didn't know how Wilson felt about things either. He didn't know how his wife felt, except that she was through with him. At lunchtime, they all sat under the double green fly of the dining tent, pretending that nothing had happened.
"Will you have lime juice or lemon squash?"
"I'll have a gimlet."
"I'll have a gimlet, too. I need something."
"I suppose it's the thing to do. What should I give the boys?"
"A quid will be plenty. Any more and you'll spoil them."
"Will the head man distribute it?"
"He will." "Well, here's to the lion."
"Here's to the lion." I can't ever thank you for what you did."
"Let's not talk about the lion. You know, you have a very red face, Mr. Wilson."
"Drink."
"Oh, I don't think so. Francis drinks a great deal, but his face is never red."
"Well, it's red today."
"No, it's mine that's red today. But Mr. Wilson's is always red."
Let's drop my beauty as a topic, shall we?"
"Conversation is going to be so difficult."
"Oh, don't be silly, Margot."
"No difficulty. Got a damn fine line."
"I wish it hadn't happened. Oh, I wish it hadn't happened."
"Amounts to nothing. Strain on the nerves, one thing to another."
"No. I suppose I wait that for the rest of my life."
"Oh, nonsense. Forget the whole thing. Nothing to it, anyway."
"We might try. I won't forget what you did for me, though."
"Nothing. It's all nonsense."
It doesn't have to go any further, does it? I mean, no one will hear about it."
"You mean, will I tell it at the club? I'm a professional, Hansa. We never talk about our clients. You can be quite easy on that. It's supposed to be bad form to ask us not to talk, though."
"I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. There are a lot of things I don't know."
"And don't worry about me talking. I have a living to make. You know, in Africa, no woman ever misses her lion, and no white man ever bolts."
"I bolted like a rabbit." Maybe I can fix it up on Buffalo.
In the morning, if you like. Oh, here comes the Memsahib.
Are you feeling better, Francis?
You're much better.
I've dropped the whole thing. What importance is there as to whether Francis is any good at killing lions? That's not his trade. That's Mr. Wilson's trade. Mr. Wilson is really very impressive, killing anything. You do kill anything, don't you?
Oh, anything. Simply anything. We're going after Buffalo in the morning.
I'm coming.
No, you're not.
Oh, yes, I am. I wouldn't miss something like today for anything.
We'll put on another show for you tomorrow.
She's not coming.
You're very mistaken. And I want so to see you perform again. You were lovely this morning.
Lunch, Buona, Sasahiri.
Oh, thank you, Congoni.
Well?
You're very merry, aren't you?
Why not? I didn't come out here to be dull.
It hasn't been dull.
No, it's been charming. You don't know how I look forward to tomorrow.
Lunch, Memsahib.
Oh, thank you. What is it?
It's eland.
Oh, they're the big cowy things that jump like hares, aren't they?
I suppose that describes them.
It's very good meat.
Did you shoot it, Francis?
Yes.
They're not dangerous, are they?
Only if they fall on you.
I'm so glad.
Can't we let up on this a bit, Margot?
I suppose so.
Well, tonight we'll have champagne for the lion. A bit too hot at noon.
Oh, the lion. I'd forgotten the lion.
Have some more eland.
At 3 o'clock in the morning, Francis Macomba woke suddenly, frightened in a dream of the bloody-headed lion standing over him, and he listened while his heart pounded. Then he realized that his wife wasn't in the other cot in the tent. It was 2 hours later that she came in, lifted her mosquito bar, and crawled cozily into bed.
Where have you been?
I just went out to get a breath of air.
Can't you be more original than that?
What do you want me to say, darling?
Where have you been?
Out to get a breath of air.
That's a new name for it. You're nothing but...
And you're a coward.
All right. What of it?
Nothing, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, but please, let's not talk, darling, because I'm very sleepy.
You think I'll take anything?
Please, darling.
There wasn't going to be any of that. You promised there wouldn't be.
Well, now there is.
You said if we made this trip that there'd be none of that. You promised.
Yes, darling. The way I meant it to be. But the trip was spoiled yesterday. We don't have to talk about it.
You don't wait long when you have an advantage, do you?
Please, let's not talk. I'm so sleepy.
I'm gonna talk.
Don't mind me, then, because I'm going to sleep.
And she went to sleep. At breakfast, they were all three at the table before daylight.
Sleep well?
Did you?
Wonderfully.
Do you think we'll find Buffalo?
A chance of it. Why don't you stay in camp?
Not for anything.
Why not order her to stay in camp?
You order her.
Let's not have any ordering, nor any silliness, Francis.
Are you ready to start?
Anytime. Do you want the Memsahib to go?
Does it make any difference whether I do or not?
No.
You're sure you wouldn't like to stay in camp with her yourself and let me go out and hunt the buffalo?
I wouldn't talk rot if I were you.
I'm not talking rot. I'm disgusted.
Bad word, disgusted.
Francis, will you please try to speak sensibly?
I speak too confounded sensibly. Did you ever eat such filthy food?
Something wrong with the food.
No more than with everything else.
I'd pull yourself together, laddie. There's a boy waiting at the table who understands a little English.
He can go to the devil!
If you'll excuse me, I've got one or two things to see to.
If you make a scene, I'll leave you.
No, you won't.
You can try and see.
You won't leave me.
No, I won't leave you. And you behave yourself.
Behave myself? Well, that's a way to talk. Why don't you try behaving?
I've tried it so long, so very long.
I hate that red-faced swine. I loathe the sight of him.
He's really very nice.
Oh, shut up!
Coming shooting?
Yeah.
I better bring a woolly. It'll be cool in the car.
I'll get my leather jacket.
The boy has it.
got into the car, and nobody spoke. The car climbed up a small rise and went on through the trees and then out into the veldt. The driver going slowly, and Wilson looking carefully out across the veldt through his field glasses. The driver avoided warthog holes and drove round the mud castles Ants had built.
There they are.
Where?
There, you see. Three of them.
Oh, they're enormous.
They're off. Three old bulls. We'll cut them off before they get to the swamp. Come on, Conconi. Get this thing moving.
Indeed, boy.
We're doing 45 miles an hour.
We're catching them.
Their necks are part of their shoulders.
You see the shiny black of their horns?
I see them.
Hey, what are you doing?
I'm going to take that near one.
Not from the car, you fool. This will do, Conconi. Stop. Now, get out and shoot. Well, that's one. Reload and get the other two, quickly. Now you're shooting. Get that other one. All right. Nice work. That's the three.
How many times did you shoot?
Just three. You killed the first and the biggest. I helped you with the other two.
The first bull got up and went into the bush.
Oh.
It's going to be just like the lion.
It's not going to be like the lion at all. Where did he go in?
That patch of bush over there.
Well, chances are he's dead.
Oh, that was wonderful. I never felt such a feeling. I don't think I'd ever be afraid of anything again. I feel absolutely different.
Well, much more fashionable than to say you're scared.
You're both talking rot.
If you don't know what we're talking about, just keep out of it.
You've gotten awfully brave, awfully suddenly.
You know, I have. I really have.
Isn't it sort of late?
Not for me.
Take the Springfield. You're used to it. We'll leave the Manlicher in the car with the Memsahib. The only shot is straight into the nose because the boss of the horns covers any sort of brain shot. You ready?
Looking forward to it.
Let's go.
The car was parallel to the patch of brush. They followed the blood spoor across the dry ground. One of Wilson's gun bearers was about to walk into the bush when the bull came out in a charge, his little pig eyes bloodshot. Wilson knelt and fired. Macomba stood and fired. Pieces of horn flew like slate from a roof. Then he fired again, carefully, for the nose. He could see the little wicked eyes and the bull's head started to lower. Then he felt a sudden white-hot, blinding flash explode inside his head. And that was all he ever felt. Mrs. Macomba had shot at the buffalo with the 6.5 Mannlicher as it seemed about to gore Macomba. And she'd hit her husband at the base of his skull.
I wouldn't turn him over. Well, that was a pretty thing to do. He would have left you, too.
Stop it!
Of course, it's an accident.
Stop it!
I'll have to send a truck to Wireless for a plane to take us into Nairobi. Why didn't you poison him? That's what they do in England.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
I'm through now. I've begun to like you, husband.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushveld. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.
I feel that I cannot leave Wyoming territory without describing my encounter with Nebraska Jack and his remarkable family.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. In just a moment, we will bring you this latest report from the Frontier Gentlemen. 7 mornings a week on CBS Radio, the World News Roundup presents accurate eyewitness reports on the big news stories of the day. The World News Roundup puts you in touch with the great news capitals while you breakfast or drive to work. Start each day fully informed. Hear these reports direct from where the news is happening, as most of these same stations bring you the World News Roundup. At the top of the day or late in the evening, hear all the news on CBS Radio. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I was on my way to the South Pass District. We were driving through Little Snake Country when the stagecoach in which I was riding developed a hot box. That is to say, one of the wheels, through lack of grease, had clogged and would no longer turn. The axle became red hot. And so when we limped into the next stage station, there was no choice but to wait for repairs, a matter of 2 or 3 hours. I decided to rent a horse and was told by the attendant that if I rode down to the river, I should pay my respects to Nebraska Jack.
Yes, sir. Now, if I was a stranger in these parts, I'd sure want to amble down and make his acquaintance.
What does he do?
Do? He don't do nothing right now, except sit around and take his ease. It's what he did that counts, mister. Old Jack. Ain't nothing much he can't tell you about the opening up of this country. That is, if he feels like it. Now, if I was you, I'd buy me a bottle of gut warmer and take it on down to him. Best way I know to loosen up his talking talents.
Oh? Well, do you happen to know where I could find...
So happens I got a couple of bottles right here. Yeah, old Jack's favorite brand. Never drinks nothing else. I reckon he's about due for a refill. He'll take it real kindly, mister.
How much?
$3.
$3.
And $1 for the horse, $30 for the saddle. Don't care about the horse, but good saddles is hard to come by. Of course, you get the $30 back when you bring in the saddle.
I see.
Yes, sir. Now, you come out back, I'll get you fixed up.
Well, how do I find this place?
Ain't nothing to it. Just follow the wagon road till you come to a sign saying Nebraska Jack's place, keep out. Here's a trail right down to the river. You can't miss it. Ah, here's a mighty fine little horse. Ain't got nothing to worry about with him. Get you there and get you back.
He's just a bit swaybacked, wouldn't you say?
Him? Shucks, no. That's just the way he's made. That there's a real clear-footed rocking chair critter. He give you any trouble, though, you just lay your quirt on his get-up end. He'll do just fine. Just fine.
As it turned out, my suspicions were correct. The clear-footed, gentle critter turned out to be what my friend Shorthorn Tom would have called, among other things, a whey-bellied stump-sucker. The animal managed to stumble in every gopher hole and over every rock on the trail. In fact, he sought them out. I followed the wagon road until I reached the sign reading, Nebraska Jack's Place. Keep out. Then I turned off onto the river trail. I had gone about 300 yards when...
Get that cowhawk turned head off my land and you with it before I unravel you.
It's Nebraska Jack, isn't it?
You're darn right. Can't you read the sign back yonder?
Yes.
Next one, I'm going to shoot through the water barrel and drown you.
Now, wait. I brought you some whiskey.
Oh, let's see it.
Here.
Keep that bottle in sight. I'm riding this way slow, slow and easy.
Oh, get a move on you.
That's close enough. Oh. Stop right there. Oh. I seen you got a gun, Pilgrim. Well, don't you get itchy to use it. Just throw down that wild mare's milk, you know. Well, now, that's mighty kindly of you, mister, mighty kindly. You come down from the stage station, did you?
That's right.
I thought so. Ollie Monaghan, he sent you over, huh?
Well, I didn't catch his name. It was the station attendant.
Ollie, oh, that's who it was. Every once in a while, he sends along some young greener fella like you. Come out to see the wild and woolly west. Sends him over to see old Nebraska Jack. Sir, if I'm around, I usually throw some hot lead. Kind of makes them feel they're living dangerous. Yeah, I scared one fella so much a couple of months back he lost his horse. Ended up busting his head again at that tree over yonder.
Oh, really?
Yeah, fact, I like to die laughing. Yeah, come to think of it, he did too. Buried him under the tree. Well, now, you come on and follow me down to my shack. I'll get one of the women folk to rustle up some grub.
All right. You live here with your family?
Family? Young fella, you ain't never seen a family in your born days like mine.
Big?
Big! Oh, I lost count 2 years ago. But near as I can recollect, there's five wives and 17 young'uns. Or maybe it's 18 by now. One of the women's fixing to drop a calf any minute. I hope it's a boy this time. Last four have been little calicoes. Come on, let's go have a look-see.
Nebraska Jack was a man of at least 70. Although not very tall, he still possessed the physique of a much younger man. His hair was long and white, and a fine, curly beard covered most of his face. He led me to what he called his shack. In actuality, it was more like a blockhouse, which stood three stories high. Situated on a rise above the river, it was quite an imposing sight. At the river's edge, I noticed a half a dozen or more naked children of varying ages. They saw him, waved happily, and went back to their play in the water.
Now you can tie the horse up here.
Right.
Rose! Oh, Rosie! We got company. Put on the coffee. I'd offer you a drink, but I ain't got more than enough for myself. Besides, a fella your age don't want nothing to do with whiskey. Just rot your stomach clean through. You don't have to say nothing to Rosie about me drinking.
Oh, no, no. Of course not.
Mister, you sure are polite. Are you a territorial senator or something?
No. Newspaper correspondent. Name's J.B. Kendall.
Oh, that's so. Go ahead in. That's my room through there.
Did you build this place yourself, Jack?
Me and the older boys finished it last year. Of course, the family keeps it growing. I'll have to be adding, I guess. Wait, sit still, Kendall.
Thank you.
That's it. Newspaper correspondent, huh? English, ain't you?
Yeah.
I thought so, yeah. See, ever heard of an English writer feller called Ruxton?
Oh, yes.
He was up in these parts years back. Oh, I see him. Nice fella. Of course, there was mostly Indians around here then. You know, you could go a year and not see a white man.
Were you born in the West?
No, I come out from Ohio when I was 12. Since then, I done and seen just about everything a man can in his natural life.
I'd like to hear about it.
Oh, you got a week?
Only an hour or so, I'm afraid. No, I've got to catch the Rock Springs stage.
Well, I'll just kind of wipe the brush over it. Yeah, I've been a trader, prospector, guide, scout. I freighted and trapped with Jim Bridger. You heard of Jim Bridger, ain't you?
Oh, I should say so.
And I used to run a ferry across the Green River on the Oregon Trail. I killed Indians and white men. I still got two bullets in my leg and a piece of Ute arrow in my backside. Well, along about 15 years ago, I was getting on past 60, I figured it was time to settle down, get me a wife. Trouble was, I'd lived the way of the Indians so long, I felt more like them than my own kind. So I up and married one. Oh, fine woman.
But I thought you said that you had five wives, wasn't it?
And that's right, but I didn't wed up with them all at once. First wife, she was Arapaho Nellie. She got kind of lonesome for woman company, so her cousin come to visit her. That was Mary. That was her second wife. Then there was Piney and Mandy and Rosie.
Two Shoshone, one Ute.
And they all get on together?
Well, sure. Ain't no reason why they shouldn't.
Coffee, Nebraska.
Well, that's just fine. Kendall, I want you to meet Rosie. This here's J.B. Kendall, Rosie.
Mrs. Nebraska.
Say, now, I plumb forgot Rosie. How's Piney doing, huh? She calved yet?
I told you before, Nebraska, no talk like that. Piney have baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, she have baby yet?
No, soon. Oh. Maybe tonight.
Where's Nellie?
She downriver looking to your trap line.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What about Mary?
Nebraska, you getting old in the head. You disremember everything. You send Mary and Mandy to fetch in sheep.
Ain't that something I clean forgot?
Nebraska.
Huh?
Let me smell breath.
What?
Whiskey! Where you hiding?
No, Rosie.
All right, fine. This Kendall, he bring it?
Well, I...
No whiskey. How many times I tell you, no whiskey. He drink one of these days, he cash in his chips. No whiskey, Nebraska. You hear?
Yes, ma'am.
This Kendall, he stay for grub.
No. Thank you very much. I'll have to be going.
Oh, no. You don't have to do that. Why, Rosie here, she fixes the best chuck you ever set a tooth.
No, really. The coach.
You got your baggage up there at the stage station?
Yes, and...
Shucks. I'll get one of the boys to bring it down for you. You take the next coach out tomorrow. Sure, you stay overnight. Oh, wait, we got plenty of room.
Well, it's very kind of you.
Did you hear that, Rosie? Don't he talk just fine, real educated. Now, you send one of the boys in, Little Jack.
Little Jack plucking chickens. What you want with him?
What about Ben?
Ben cutting wood. Joe catching fish. Mary's Pete building dam. Nellie's Pete helping.
All right. I guess I'll just have to do it myself, then.
Do what?
Go with Kendall up to the stage station and fetch in his baggage.
Oh, no. No. I know what happens you go to station, that Ollie Monaghan. He sell you whiskey. Oh, no.
Rosie, it ain't so, I swear. Kendall.
Oh, no.
Kendall, you wouldn't even let me smell the bottle now, would you?
Oh, no.
Well, I'm sure that I...
There, you see? Now, Kendall here, he's English, and when he gives his word... Oh, well, Rosie, you ain't got a thing to worry about.
Oh, no. Kendall go to station himself fetch baggage. You stay here, Nebraska.
You can't ask a guest to do that, Rosie. It ain't hospitable.
There's no trouble. I don't mind in the least.
What do you figure he's going to say about us in his newspaper? We make him go fetch baggage his own self.
Don't matter what he say. I know Reed anyhow.
Now, you hold on, woman. I got patience, but I tell you, it's thin and fast. I'm the head man in this here house, and I'm telling you, I'm a-going with Kendall to fetch his baggage.
You go to stage station, get drunk.
Who says I'm...
When you come back, you'll be sorry.
Who says I'm going to get drunk?
Tonight, wife Piney having baby.
All right. Me and Kendall will be back before dark.
You remember what I tell you, Nebraska. This is last time. You drink whiskey. You no have womans. You no have kids. You no have nothing.
Although I tried to dissuade him, Nebraska Jack insisted upon accompanying me. He must have known what was in my mind, because by the time he had saddled up his horse, shown me a shortcut which took us 5 miles out of our way to the stage station, my coach, bound for the South Pass District, had already gone. We went into the waiting room.
Well, that's the way of things, see. Something told me there was a deceitful thought in your eye. Yes, sir. You was going to take off in that there coach and leave me high and dry down to the river, now, wasn't you, Kendall?
I must admit the thought did cross my mind.
I figured, so you know what I done? I made you miss your coach. That's what I done. Hey, Ollie!
Yeah?
It's Nebraska Jack.
Right in, Jack.
Yes, sir. Now, where'd you keep that whiskey at?
Jack, why did you want me to miss my coach?
Why? Well, I'll tell you. As long as I'm with you, I'm safe.
Safe?
Well, that's what I say, boy. Because when I start in bending an elbow, there's no telling what happens. Sometimes I just get plumb sleepy, and other times, well, sir, I just go on the warpath. Ain't no sense to it, but I'm like to get mad as a bear with two cubs and a sore tail.
Yes, but I still don't understand what I've got to do with it.
Well, you heard what Rosie said. If I come home drunk, you heard.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to just let you keep an eye on me. You're going to hold me down. And as soon as you calculate I've had enough, you're going to take me on home before I get drunk.
What happens if you don't want to go?
Well, don't matter what I want. You got to make me. You heard what she said. Now, you give me your word. You'll do it.
All right.
Howdy, Nebraska. Ain't seen you for a spell.
Howdy, Ollie. Say, my friend here, he wants to buy a bottle of your red eye.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. How's the wives, Nebraska?
Oh, fair.
And the kids?
Oh, they're just fine. Oh, keep it in the safe now, huh?
That's right. Oh, only two bottles left, Nebraska. You want them both?
And I guess what? You figure, Kendall?
Frankly, no.
You just put it to the side, Ollie. We'll start with one.
Sure, Nebraska. Oh, that'll be $4 each, mister.
Four? The last bottle was only three.
Yeah, but this one is 2 weeks aged. Best in the house. Wait a minute, Nebraska. I'll get some mugs. No sense of you drinking alone.
Sure. Well, don't you give none to Kendall. He's too young to guzzle. Besides, he's promised to get me home sober. And that's just what he's going to do. Ain't that so, Kendall?
Wherever the Red Cross serves, you serve too. You help the family whose home is lost by flood. The young soldier far away from home. The housewife learning home nursing. The youngster who wants to swim. Yes, wherever the Red Cross serves, you serve too. Support your Red Cross. Contribute to the Red Cross for members and funds. Answer the call. Join and serve.
Exactly 1 hour later, Nebraska Jack and Ollie Monaghan had demolished one bottle of what must have been the most violent whiskey in Wyoming territory. Monaghan had almost completely lost his voice and was trying to sing a song that he swore his mother had taught him. I found the words were somewhat obscure. Nebraska Jack had a peculiar gleam in his eye and was viewing the other whiskey bottle with great interest. It stood on the table beside my elbow.
Are you married, Kendall?
No.
I'm married, Kendall. I taught them to talk English. That's the worst thing I ever done. Now they think like a white woman. Well, that's worse yet. Let's open the other bottle.
No.
Well, you don't trust me. You think I'm going to get drunk.
You are drunk.
Oh, well, that is a lie.
Now, Nebraska, you know what your wife said would happen this time.
I'm going to tell you something about my wife, Rosie. Oh, she's the worst. And I'm going to go home and I'm going to scalp her. Right now, I'm going to scalp her.
If you want my opinion, she'll end up scalping you. They all will.
Rosie's a ute. Yeah, I got a piece of ute arrow on my backside. Never trust a ute. They want to ruin your life.
Well, what about the others?
Oh, they're all right. Nellie, Mary, Amanda, Piney. But that Rosie ain't fitting for a woman to be so mean. You hear how she talks to me? Oh, give me that bottle of whiskey.
Nope.
I get through with you. Your kin won't be knowing you from fresh hides. Now, come on, give me that bottle.
Don't you want to be able to see your new son?
What new son?
Piney. She's going to have her baby tonight.
You know, Kendall, I'm bad news. I ain't even worth stomping on. Fact. Ain't right for a father to carry on so. All them kids at home, no pa to set them on the right trail. All them good wives are fixing and are fussing over me. I'm just a no-good walking whiskey vat.
How's about a drink, partner?
Sorry.
He's my pal, see?
Partner!
Oh, not you, you sidewinder. You trying to get me drunk? I got me a home with all them fine wives and kids. You know, Rosie will make them all pull stakes. She's you, she'll just do it.
Come on, Jack. I'll take you home. You can sober up on the way.
It ain't no use. New baby won't be no boy. It'll be a girl, another girl, sure as you're alive. That'll make 5 girls in 3 years. No, sir, fellas, I ain't the man I used to be. I might as well get drunk.
Open up the bottle, Bart.
Open it up, Kendall.
No.
Now, don't you go getting me frothy, mister.
I don't particularly care if you foam at the mouth. I made you a promise, and I intend to keep it. Although I have no idea why I should. You are going home.
I'm telling you, give me that bottle. And if you don't, I'm going to wrap your arms about your neck and give you the strangle.
Hang up his eye, Nebraska. Clear his bow.
Now, you, clear. My friend, are a bad influence. Go away. All right, Jack. Come on.
You shouldn't have done that, boy. You're itching for trouble. I'm going to have to whittle you down a mite. Come on, draw.
I'm not going to fight you, Jack.
Draw, you sniveling, long-eared wood pussy. I'm giving you a chance to fill your hand. And if you don't do it, I'm going to shoot you down like a sick coyote.
I won't draw.
Come on.
No, go on, shoot.
Say your prayers.
Pop! Say. Pop! Mama Rosie says if you ain't drunk, you've got to come home right away because Mama Piney give us a new baby brother. And if you air drunk, then you stay out of the way or she'll take an axe to you.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
A boy. That's what she said, wasn't it?
That's what she said.
A boy. Now, that surely is a something.
You better go home and see your son, Jack.
Yeah, I reckon so. Say, you figure me for a pretty big fool, huh?
I think it'd be an idea if you put away the gun.
No, I'm just an alkalized old man who ain't got the sense I was born with. At least, I'm getting sober mighty quick.
That's good.
You know, I'd take it as a kindness if you'd ride with me.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I ain't saying I blame you, but it'll be a pleasure to have you see the new one.
Well, if I won't be in the way...
In the way? Mister, with 5 women and 18 kids, how are you going to be in the way? Go on, let's go.
Nebraska Jack was completely sober by the time we arrived. The newcomer was of incredible size, weighing, I should judge, at least 14 pounds. The image of his father, with a thatch of curly black hair and a pair of immense lungs. His bellowing lasted far into the night. However, I was able to forgive him, considering his parents had done me the honor of naming him J.B. Kendall.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Jack Moyles, and Virginia Gregg. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. Bud Sewell speaking.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour in between now and then. You can find past episodes of this show, all the other podcasts, more from the shows you heard today, and everything else Relic Radio at the website, relicradio.com. You can donate through the website if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, help keep them coming every week. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.